استنكف المسيح أن يكون عبدا لله ولا الملائكة المقربون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah ta'ala to continue showering His blessings upon us and to continue enabling us to make shukr and express gratitude for these blessings. Those we know, those we don't know, those we feel, those we don't feel. And we also beg Allah ta'ala not to take away from us any of these blessings on account of our own weaknesses, on account of our own disobedience to Him. Alhamdulillah, respected friends and brothers, we are fortunate to count ourselves amongst the ummatis of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fortunate in this that we can count ourselves among the people of Iman and Mu'min. Fortunate that we refer to ourselves as the people of the Quran, who take the guidance from the Quran Kareem. Because by being involved in this particular category, it is a sign, inshallah, that we are showered and favored by the special mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know, my brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam with a specific and a definite mission. And that mission was to divert mankind away from his evil ways and from the false ways that he was involved in. Mankind became involved in various acts of worship that was not directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on account of him being overwhelmed by what he thought was something great, what he thought was something powerful, whether it was the material strength, whether it was the power of the people that he was living amongst, or whether it was any other strong influence that intimidated him and made him feel humble in front of it. So we find men started making those things the object of his worship. He basically made them his idols. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya alayhi salam that just turned this people's direction away. They just got lost on that side. So there was that one group. Then we find with that people's beliefs also changed. What they saw, they started believing. So Allah ta'ala sent the Anbiya alayhi salam that changed this people's belief. Then there were those who had some kind of semblance or some kind of affinity with whatever deen was left with them, but they changed the face of the deen. So what they thought was deen was distorted, which is no longer the deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya alayhimu salam to give the people the way of haq, the way of truth, the real deen. And that was what the mission of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam was. That is why we find, my respected friends and brothers, that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions with regard to the deen becoming distorted, that whoever introduces anything in this deen, then that thing is rejected. Anything in this deen which is not part of this deen, that is rejected. So anyone who innovates or brings some newfangled idea or some newfangled practice and regards it as the deen itself, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that thing is out of the window. It's out, it's not accepted. Likewise, my respected friends and brothers, while this is with regard to the actual practices of the deen, there are those people who totally lost the deen. And it was for them we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down Anbiya alayhimu salam upon Anbiya alayhimu salam. And we find the different narrations. One has placed the number of Anbiya is 124,000 Anbiya alayhimu salam plus minus. And obviously many came with suhuf, with scriptures. And many came with shariats, and many just carried on and perpetuated the message of the previous Nabi. But they were all doing the same work. So we at all times are supposed to have this concern that am I still connected to my deen? Are my beliefs still pure and pristine? And are my actions in as far as deen is concerned, are they also still according to the way of the sunnah? The only way a deeni activity and ibadat is acceptable if it is within the parameters of the sunnah as shown by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as practiced by the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, and as recorded later on for the benefit of progeny and for us by the noble and the learned fuqaha-i kiram. That is what forms the parameters of the deen, my respected friends and brothers. So we have to have this concern at all times. And alhamdulillah, it is for this concern today we are sitting here. There's a very big gathering taking place out there in Roshni, the Ijtima. The same fikr is about this, that how can people once more reconnect with Allah Ta'ala? How can people once more rejuvenate their iman? And those who have lost their iman, reconnect. Those who have got iman, increase their iman. Those who have moved away from what they were supposed to be doing, bring their actions back on the noble tariqah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every Thursday we hear the ilani, our success and the success of mankind lies in fulfilling the commands of Allah according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is what this whole fikr is about. And whether it's ijtima or it's not ijtima, whether it's gasht or it's no gasht, we are supposed to have this worry in our mind that am I correctly believing in Allah? Are my beliefs correct? Do I believe someone else is doing? Do I believe the power lies with some other powerful wealth or powerful person or powerful authority or powerful whoever it might be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one I'm supposed to be connected to in every aspect of our everyday life, my respected friends and brothers. Wallahu ghalibun ala amri. We should have this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds supreme, sways supreme, absolute power over all his matters. Well, akin aksaran nasi la ya'lamun, but most people, they don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Karim. So my brothers, in this series of the Anbiya alayhimu salam, one of the very prominent ulul azm, one of the senior sahaba, prophets and messengers that have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Anbiya, is Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of in the Quran Karim about 90 times. There is reference to Isa alayhi salam. Now we are Muslimin. We read the Quran Karim. We are not Masihiyin, as we would say. You know, we are not Christian religion. Why is there so much reference to Isa alayhi salam? Because Isa alayhi salam is also our Nabi. And the messages that Isa alayhi salam are exactly the messages which Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam came with and all the Anbiya alayhi salam before. Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worry about your akhirah. And the third thing is that follow the way of your Nabi whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. So my respected friends and brothers, we find the Quran is replete with so many references of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent to the face of this earth with messages and invitation to his people towards what all the other Anbiya alayhim had done, alayhim salatu wa salam had done. And that is recognizing the greatness of Allah, regulating their lives and making it in conformity to the commands and the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my respected friends and brothers, we find that Isa alayhi salatu wa salam was sent to a group of people. And why Allah mentions this in the Quran, you must always remember when Allah speaks about the Anbiya alayhi salam and their experiences in the Quran Karim, it is to point out a number of things for a various number of reasons. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given comfort through all these stories that what difficulty you're going through, what persecution you are experiencing, the Anbiya alayhi salam is also experiencing. Allah Ta'ala is telling the followers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they see those followers of the previous Anbiya, when they listened to their Prophet, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated them favorably. And those who disobeyed, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them in a very, very humiliating way. So there are lots of other reasons why these stories are mentioned or these accounts are given in the Quran Karim. So my respected friends and brothers, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to one of the most rebellious ummats that walked on the face of the earth, that who Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had to contend with, the Bani Israel, the Israelites as we refer to, the Yahudis as you and I also refer to. And these people were such rebellious people that all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that used to come to them, they used to give them real uphill, as we would say. They used to trouble the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam himself, we find in the Quran Karim in different places how much of frustration he had to face by these people. And finally, when Isa alayhi salam came, Allah Ta'ala describes the mindset and the practices of these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا نَقْدَهِمْ مِثَاقَهُمْ, that these people, they broke the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They made a strong a covenant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they broke the covenant. These people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَتْلِهِمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. They killed Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. The Israelites, the Bani Israel, the Yahudis, as we refer to them. That is the ummah of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, who Isa alayhi salam was sent to. So what did he have to contend with? We can understand. So they قَتْلِهِمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. And their attitude towards their prophets and Anbiya was such that they used to basically ignore them. And they used to taunt them. And they used to say, we can't understand what you are saying. What you're saying? You know, like in a very sarcastic way. وَقَوْلِهِمْ قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. Say, our hearts are covered up. We can't. What are you saying? What is this message we have come with? Now the Nabi is giving messages to these people and these people are not accepting it. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمَّ وَاضِعِهِ. These people, they used to distort the words of their scripture from the original text to suit them. So, you know, as you say, you get a fatwa how you would like it. So forget about the fatwa. These people used to get the whole text of their scripture changed. If they were the powerful and they were the wealthy amongst them, all they needed to do was they used to go to their priest, and the priest used to then say, okay, like this you want it, okay. So then this to change, and obviously Jewa Fatwa Teo, Jewa Batwa Teo Fatwa, the same Gujarati, you know, how much you pay, that's the kind of fatwa you will get. And this was happening all the time among these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, akaluna lis-suht, that these people were consumers of suht, is the Arabic word which means haram in every way. So whether their livelihood was taken, whether they were eating, whether their businesses, their transactions was interest, whether they were pulling scams, which we never even heard of till now, all those things was what was the basis of their livelihood. So when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam came to these people, Quran has made mention of a lot of people, a lot of things about them. Then obviously they were angered and they were not happy that who is this man here coming here and coming to impose his authority on us, who is coming to take away from us our way of doing things and diverting our people away to him and changing all the things, making our life difficult here. So then we find the enmity that started between these people, who the Bani Israel and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Isa alayhi salam, my brothers, we must remember, is one of the Anbiya alayhi salam of Allah Ta'ala, who stands out in a very special way when we look at the manifestation of the Qudrat of Allah. If you want to look at the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the one Nabi that we look at is Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. From his birth till the time he has been raised, he's still coming back. Right now also, if we just have to look at, we have to look at his life and his existence, it is the manifestation of the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala sent him amongst these very rebellious people so that the people could recognize the Qudrat of Allah and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the time of his birth, we know that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and he blew into the bosom of Sayyida Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. And then she was impregnated in that way. There was no physical and a normal way of, you know, impregnation taking place. There was no human agency of a father as we will normally have. And we find that she was carrying a child. That's why she was so surprised. She says, "Anna yakunu li waladun wa lam yamsasni bashar." Where am I going to get a child from when I haven't been touched by a man? She was virgin, she was pure, and she was clean, my respected friends and brothers. But then Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born. So that in itself was such a great lesson for those people around there, that they are supposed to immediately question that this, how did this happen? This is the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam come and preach to you. This is what their mission is about. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, right in his infancy, we know the ayat of the Quran, that was another miracle for them to see. Another manifestation of the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What? He says, "Qala inni Abdullah," little baby lying in the cradle, few days old, saying, "I am the servant of Allah." Any baby will say that now, and the children about 1.5, 2, you know, around there, one, then they start saying Allah, Allah, we get them to say Allah. Here the child is saying, "Inni Abdullah, I am the servant of Allah." Was that not a great sign? Was it not a manifestation of the Qudrat of Allah? That Allah sent this Nabi, this child, and he is talking in the cradle. Atani al-kitab, Allah has given me the scripture. وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. Allah has made me a nabi, a little baby. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا. And Allah has made me blessed. So these are the things these people are supposed to look at. Then further on we find that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam performed various supernatural acts, also miracles and the mu'ajiza. We know the Quran Kareem speaks, أَنِّي يَخْلُقُ لَكُم مِّنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرِ, that I make for you a form like a bird. فَأَنْفُخُ فِيهِ, then I blow in it. فَيَكُونَ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, then this bird that I made with mud or whatever he made it becomes a bird by the idhan, by the command and the permission of Allah. So what was Isa alayhi salam doing here, my brothers? Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was diverting the people's attention and showing them the qudrat of Allah. I am doing this, but bi idhnillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing it. Wa ubri'u al-akmaha wal-abrasa wa uhyil mawta bi idhnillah. I cure the lepers, I cure the blind, and I bring the dead back to life. Till today, no doctor has got that right. Right? No one has got that right. There's no medical evidence of anyone bringing the dead back to life. That means the ruh was taken out and the ruh was put back in. But why? Bi idhnillah. So we find that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was actually introducing the greatness and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to these people. That jo kuch hota hai, whatever happens, happens by the power and the authority and the permission and the will of Allah Ta'ala. And that is where we take this lesson, my respected friends and brothers, that no matter what we see happening in front, our elders teach us that jahan se jo kuch nazar aa raha hai, where you're seeing it happening, it's not happening. There's a power behind that, and that is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that iman that we are supposed to be continuously making an effort on. That is that iman we are supposed to be worried about, that what is the level of my iman? Is it such an iman that I have now diverted my interest, I have diverted my attention and belief to someone else besides Allah Ta'ala? So that was Isa alayhi salam. Now my brothers, we find the ignorant people, and this is where we must be so careful. The ignorant people, instead of recognizing the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala by the messenger of Allah, who is introducing them to Allah, they make him the object of the worship. They say, this man here is the one. So their whole attention turned away from somewhere else, but instead of going to Allah Ta'ala, we find that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was now made the object of their worship. Until now, we'll find boards and we'll find billboards and whatever it might be, say, where clear reference is made that you must pray to him and he is the God and he is the Lord and whatever it might be. So what happened right in the starting, you mentioned that people's attention was diverted. People's aqidah turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what exactly happened here, my respected friends and brothers. Out of ignorance, people went away elsewhere. And that was the one thing. And the second thing that has happened with regard to this people's deen is that the acts of their deen have got absolutely no basis. It has become not even an innovation. It is basically, it's based on folklore. It's based on imaginary figures, on imaginary happenings, on events that didn't take place in the first place. The greatest miracle of Isa alayhi salam was what? That he was born without the agency of a human father. And another miracle of his was what? That he was lifted up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Kareem. And that is the belief of the Muslimin and the Mu'mineen as espoused in the Quran Kareem. Allah lifted him up. وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ. And Allah says that وَمُطَحِّرُكَ. And we have purified you from all the slanders and the allegations these people have made against you and your mother. And the miracle of Isa alayhi salam, like right now, is that he's still living in the heavens. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled on Mi'raj and he met Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wa salam there. So a man living out of the realm of this physical dunya, still alive and still going to come back, that's another miracle. His descension is also going to be a miraculous event, my respected friends and brothers. And he will resume life from the point where he had left it. A hadith are replete with a lot of accounts of that. Inshallah, we'll discuss it at another time. But now what we are looking at is that how the deen of these people has been distorted. how the acts of their ibadat have become non-existent or unsubstantiated. And that is where we are supposed to be making this fikr at all times, that, oh Allah, keep me steadfast. Oh Allah, do not let my deen be contaminated. Oh Allah, let me not become animosity, or let me harbor no animosity towards the beautiful teachings of the deen, towards the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if I am weak in any way, I can't practice it, let me have love and reverence for it, and give me the tawfiq. Tawfiq is from Allah, the opportunity where Allah opens the way where we can practice on the sunnah. Give me the opportunity that I can practice on the sunnah. So my respected friends and brothers, that is how we are supposed to believe. Now in conclusion, why we discuss Isa alayhi salam and the message of the Anbiya alayhi salam, and how it relates to us, is in this day and age like today, this long weekend that we are having normally, you know, we always look for long weekends. Look, we like holidays actually. Many of us are not even connected. And we should not, by mistake also, in any way, get caught in any of the false, unsubstantiated practices that are associated. Like today is regarded as Friday, Good Friday. Every Friday is good, alhamdulillah. We are so happy. Jumma Mubarak, huh? We say blessed Jumma. It's a blessed Friday, my respected brothers. But this is called good. Actually, it's translated from holy to good. That's why it's called good. And why? It is because, according to the Christians, according to their belief, Isa alayhi salam was crucified on a Friday, on this particular day. So therefore, they regard it as a holy Friday. They got a problem with Friday, and they got a problem with number 13 also. You know that, Friday the 13th, it falls a major problem. Many don't even go and work. Because according to them, there was the Last Supper that took place, and there were 13 people there, you know. And therefore, 13 and Friday is such a scary thing for them. If you have to read up the stories and the accounts of intelligent people, intellectuals and whoever it might be, when Friday the 13th comes, they just don't move from their homes. They are scared. Aeroplanes won't even have some of the number 13 seat. Some of the buildings don't have the 13th floor. So, so much of scare they got. This is the deen. This is what the deen has become, my brothers. Really, this is the fact. You go in many buildings, we have seen, where's 12? And then 14, where's the 13th floor? Didn't they put a 13th floor here? The 13th floor is there, but the lift goes past, there's no 13th floor. After 12, it goes to 14. There's a fear they have. So when people move away from Allah Ta'ala, when they start worshipping Ghairullah, then they'll have the fear of everything else but Allah Ta'ala. People will be scared of cats. And this is where we will be so careful. Where in our deen, we do not become caught up by superstition and by culture and by things that have been handed down by grannies to grannies to grannies. Another hadith of grannies, that his granny and her granny did and her granny did it. And then we regard that. So this becomes sometimes a thing of people's deen, and they live by it and they swear by it, and they actually regard it as the most important part of their iman, na'udhu billah. So that is the first thing. Isa alayhi salatu was salam, according to them, was crucified, according to them, on a Friday. He was not, وَمَا قَتَلُهُ وَمَا صَلَبُهُ. Quran says he was not killed, neither was he put on the cross. He was not, nothing of these things happened. Then the other thing on a Friday, for your interest, is this hot cross buns is actually a Christian thing. The bun is actually a bread, and the bread in the Christian religion, we find that it is, symbolizes or signifies the body of Jesus. You see? So, it is such a holy thing that in the 15th and the 16th century, Queen Elizabeth I actually banned anyone from selling, you know, or open in the marketplaces, hot cross buns any other day except on the Friday, this period here, the Holy Week as they call it, and during Christmas time. Anybody else wanted to make hot cross buns, make it quietly at home, don't make a story about it, because it is a very holy bun that is specifically associated to the Christian religion and to Good Friday itself. And they got a lot of other beliefs. How the cross came to be placed on there also is one narration, is obviously it was found among the Romans, but the more stronger one these people have taken is that we prefer our, it's our cross to be on the bun here, and obviously then he's going to make it a very holy bun, and you make it a very Mubarak one. And obviously if they say the sailors are going to eat it and then they are going to travel, they will be safe, and a whole lot of other things. So again, what I'm pointing out here, this is all researched, that how things that were nothing suddenly form part of a particular deen, and that is our fikr that should be at all times. Then we go forward, my brothers, and Monday is called Easter Monday. Easter Monday has also got to do with the religion of Isa alayhi salam, or the Christianity as such. We must remember that Easter was also celebrated by other people before. It's a pre-Christian festival. lot of times we look at, like for example, the starting of the spring season. So ancient Greeks and other ancient cultures used to actually celebrate this Monday. It was actually a Monday that was specified to be the first Monday after the first full moon that takes place after the 21st of March, which is the equinox in the Northern Hemisphere countries. So that's why you find Easter moves sometimes in March, sometimes in April. It all depends when the first full moon comes after the 21st of March. So we find that a lot of cultures actually celebrated Easter even before Christians. It was called Nowruz in the Persian cultures. They used to practice it there. And then when Christianity came, they took it that Monday was the day, according to their belief, Jesus was raised from his tomb and then he was ascended to the heavens. So therefore, they have got Easter Monday. So other cultures were having it for whatever reason. The Christians took it from nowhere, from the deen, nowhere from Isa alayhi salam's teaching, nowhere in the Bible, nothing. That is what it is. And also, my brothers, we look at, again, this is just to inform our brothers, that many times we, you know, our children also get happy, you know, Easter eggs and all, where the Easter egg came from. The Easter egg symbolizes the empty tomb of Jesus. One. And this is more in the Catholic churches, that when the stone was removed, according to their belief, Jesus was not there. He was out. He got another life. So like from an egg, you get, you know, a bird coming out alive. That is what it symbolizes. And earlier, Christians of Mesopotamia, that is the Iraq area, they used to color their eggs red. Why? Because the blood of Jesus that was spilled on the cross. So that is why they made their eggs red. So in this way, we find that Easter egg came about. Obviously, there were other cultures who also had some kind of affiliation to the egg itself. They regarded the egg as a sign of life because the new spring is coming in. These people are pre-Christian. And also, we have the Easter bunny, the rabbit. That also is something which fascinates our kids many times. So we are just saying, just be careful, do not show any interest to this type of thing. But just for our interest, the bunny, you see, the rabbit actually it multiplies very fast. We know that. It is that the female rabbit, sometimes when she's pregnant with a one litter, she already conceives the next. That's why when our children were small, they said, we want rabbits. We said, forget it. We don't want a hostel of rabbits here. We don't want that. And normally, you know, they say, hey, that's family, they're breeding like rabbits. So you know where the term comes from. So because it symbolizes abundance, and they say spring is coming, therefore we find that the pre-Christian people put that rabbit there. So when the Christians came, they took that rabbit and they transformed it into another figure, imaginary figure called Santa Claus. There's another story about him, who used to bring, according to their imagination, gifts for the children. And this Easter bunny year, he brings eggs for all the kids and he brings Easter gifts. He's regarded as a judge who judges between good and bad children. So it goes back to the animal symbolism of Santa Claus, who was also an imaginary figure in any case. So there are a lot of other things, my brothers. I just threw a little bit of light on this here to make us aware that when we shun the sunnah, or we do not give respect to the sunnah, or we become ignorant of the sunnah, then the danger is that all funny kinds of beliefs, all funny kinds of superstitions can creep into a person. Not only can his attention be taken away from the deen and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll start fearing everything else. And worse than that, his entire deen can become so distorted that there is nothing left with regard to his deen. So at all times, this fikr should be, this worry should be, that, oh Allah, you know, Rabbana, make the dua, la tuzigh qulubana. What we say, oh Allah, do not turn our hearts away. Ba'da idh hadaytana, after you have granted us the straight path, you have guided us. Wa hab lana min ladunka rahma, and gift us from your side mercy. The mercy of Allah Ta'ala is a gift, my respected friends and brothers. Allah gives it to whomsoever he wants. Yarhamu man yasha, he gives his mercy to whomsoever he wants. And he deprives him to whoever he wants. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us at all times conscious of our link and relationship to him, and our aqidah and our belief to be correct, and our amal to be in accordance to the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.